States, we have not seen an outward physical persecution in the last 200 years as many other countries have. Now, I know there's some. I know that that happens a lot. But we haven't seen a physical attack. And there's still a lot of countries today. I know some friends that are into smuggling Bibles, but a lot of the countries where there are Christians hated, I'll just name a few, in Iran and Saudi Arabia, still today Russia and China, there's persecution in Thailand, North Korea, Chad and Somalia, and the list goes on. But I'm going to tell you that that doesn't mean in our mind that we're to ever put away the idea that it couldn't happen to us. And I want to share some things with you. If you look with me, back in Genesis chapter 4, I want us to look at the formation, the beginning of a dangerous sect that began after Adam and Eve conceived their children. All right, look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have got the man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed." Look in verse number 6. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Now there's some things I want us to look at this morning about these two men. There's no doubt in my mind that God had had dialect with Cain and Abel at some point in time in their life about what He expected them to do. He had given them or spoke to them by His what? His Word. What does the Bible say, Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. No man has ever been justified outside of faith. Now the object of their faith was different than ours, wasn't it? The object of their faith required them to do something. And who was accepted in this passage that we read about? Abel. Abel. What did Abel do that God had told him to do? He offered up a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. It was something that was alive. It was something that had been required of him by Almighty God. And Abel offers up something that is not satisfying to God. But I want you to see something in this passage that not until recently was brought to my attention. Look in, the Bible says in verse number 3, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." I want you to notice something about Cain that identifies him in my mind with the religious world that we know today. Cain, in his own mind, I believe with all my heart, was a man of good intentions. He knew God from his mom and daddy. He knew about the God of heaven. No doubt he might have even heard God's voice. But there's something that Cain did, and just as we previously just learned about, he did something out of his own righteousness. He did something out of his own will. And he did not have respect to the Word of God.
God did not honor his sacrifice. What did he do? I believe Cain tirelessly gave himself over to what he knew how to do and what he knew how to do good. He gave himself to that garden. He began to work that ground. I believe he spent out there in the day. I believe by the sweat of his brow, he worked that garden to get it upright. He said, God, I know God wants a blood sacrifice, but I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna go further. I'm gonna put my work to the test. I'm gonna spend my time working that field. I'm gonna spend time plowing that dirt. Working. Working and working with confidence. And I'm going to have something so beautiful. God's going to be so impressed with me. Abel can't touch this. And I believe he was filled with pride. And look what he says in verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know something about religion? You know something about Cain? Just like later on that we see with the Pharisees, how they hated the disciples, how they hated the people of faith, they hated the little flock, how they hated that believing remnant of Israel. You know something that they have in common? They got angry when they were brought up and understood that they had willingly been disobedient to the Word of God and what God had required of them. You know what's easy for me to identify in the world today? When the world is told that you are not good enough to produce the work of whatever you think it is to be saved, to have eternal life, to be justified by God. You are not good enough, no matter how good of a person you think you are, no matter how wonderful or what kind of background or the lineage that you have. I mean, he had a good lineage, didn't he? I mean, as far I know, you'd say, "Oh well, his mom and daddy are the first folks that sinned in the garden." I'm talking about, but his daddy had walked with God, okay, and had experienced hearing the voice of God, and baby Cain did too as well. I'm sure he did, but there's something there that he missed. Look what it says. Why art thou wroth and thy countenance is fallen? Verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? There's something that changed with his expression. All of a sudden, the religious man that worked tirelessly in the garden, that worked to produce a fruit that would be acceptable to God, turned very angry and bitter very quickly. And that's where the religious world today. You want to know why there's so much mess going on in the world today? It's not because of an absence of religion. I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of religions under the sun. You can find just about anything. There's still things that are popping up. You know, there are some places you could go in the world right now, they don't have a clue. You could go in there and tell them, you and your little whitey self, show up and tell them that you are some type of God, and they just might believe you. I'm just telling the truth. Georgia boys show up somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and they're going to think that something has really happened. Some miracle has showed up, and they are going to be quite depressed, okay? And not impressed at all. But here, just like the religious world, an anger begins to fuel in the heart of Cain. It begins to be filled with pride and arrogancy. Look what he says. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Look what it says in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. Now, I don't know what you think about that. I don't know what was said. But I just got a feeling it probably wasn't really nice. Look what he says here. "And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." His religion had taken him so far to hate the child of God, to hate his fellow brother, that he went as far as to say, "I know that I cannot get to God, and I'm angry that God has not found what I have worked for to produce. He has not found that favorable in His sight." And religion says, I can't not believe, I just cannot accept that I'm not good enough to earn my own way to heaven. That I'm not good enough to earn my salvation. And if it's not that in denominationalism, and I'll just call it religion too, if it's not that, it's, well, Jesus didn't do enough at Calvary, so we got to add works to it. Or we got to take away from it. But Abel did not take away from the Word of God. He believed God's Word, see? The difference. And Cain did the very opposite of Abel, did he not? And the anger began to boil in Cain. His religion got the best of him, didn't it? And it drove him so far to kill Abel. I don't know how he killed Abel. But I know one thing, if you'll read just a little further, look in verse number 9. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother?" Now think about this. Now Almighty God's speaking to him. Look what he said. "And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Number one, first thing he does is he lies to God. He lied to him. Look what he said. "Am I my brother's keeper?" One of the things that religion doesn't have that true faith in Christ can produce through the gospel and religion does not offer is a love for your neighbor. A love for your brother. Religion says it's all about me. Look at me. There's a big I in the middle of the word pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And there's an I. It always begins with an individual and a person who's looking after their best interest. They're actually not. They believe they are. Not only is he dishonest, I want you to notice something that he's not in verse number 9. He is not even sorry for killing Abel. He knows God knows he killed Abel. He has no remorse whatsoever. Not a tear shed. No repentance. He said in his mind that he is right. And he lies. He says in verse number 9, he said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" Verse 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Think about this, folks. He kills Abel. What's Abel's blood crying? It's crying out for something. He was killed for something he should not have been put to death for. Huh? By someone who was not just in doing so. By an unjust man. And that's where we're at today, folks. And that's what's coming. See, this thing is religious. When the Antichrist shows up, he comes to sit in the temple of God, a religious place, declaring himself to be God Almighty, declaring himself to be Jehovah. Religion, religion, religion. And the world is fooled by the mask of what? Religion. Look what he says. "The voice of thy brother's blood cried to me from the ground." That blood was crying out for vengeance. I've been studying a lot of end times teaching, and that's important. You know, I mean, a lot of folks will talk to you, you tell them you're studying end times or preaching on end times, they act like it's something that's just not a big deal anymore. You know, people try to act like it, you know, we have our differences in this and that. That's not the way Paul dealt with it. You know, with the verse we like to quote, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to tell you something now. In the context of where we're going in that verse, there are two characters out there, Hymenaeus and Philetus. You know what they were preaching and what one of their problems was? They said that the resurrection is past already. They had a problem with end time preaching. They were not dispensational in their Bible teaching, were they? Or at least they weren't correctly dispensational. And he said they overthrew the faith of some. They attacked faith. They attacked God's Word. They attacked God's Word through the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. And Abel had honored the truth from God's Word. An attack on truth. And Cain had distorted truth. He had taken it and he had changed it. It says, thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, yea, verse 12, ye and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now notice what our apostle says to us today. He does not say all that are in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What does he say? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech thee therefore by the mercy of God, what? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, what? Reasonable service. How does He beseech us? By what? The mercies of God? What constrains us? The love of Christ. What motivates us to do something for God, to live holy as the brother had talked about our righteous living? What is inspiring for us to do that? It is. See, the gospel went further than just saving us. His death, burial, and resurrection and faith in what He did for us at Calvary, believing that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again so we could be justified, it goes further than just salvation of the soul because it helps us to understand how we're to walk in Christ. And when a person understands that they are dead with Christ and they are alive again and raised with Him to walk in the newness of life, that gospel and the power of understanding the death, burial, and resurrection, buried with Him in baptism into His death, understanding those things changes the outlook on a believer from I don't do these anymore, from the judgment of God's perspective, the judgment of God on me. Listen, Christ was judged at Calvary for our sins. In the fullness, listen, Christ took all of our sins on the cross. Ephesians 2:16, one body by the cross, that blood that He shed at Calvary was for our sins. And He died for our sins. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He wants to work that out. And when that's worked out in us, and as we begin to see that and understand that and live that, something comes with that godliness. Something the world does not possess. And it angers the unrighteous man. And it fuels the religious crowd. Just like the Pharisees. Those vipers that Jesus warned about. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if, well, you probably know this. Things aren't really getting better around us. I mean, I told somebody today, I still do pest control. I still kill bugs. Last time I was up here, I was telling you that. But I go in a lot of houses. And there are more people asking me about politics. Listen. And there's Christian folk asking me about politics. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question now. Have you promoted your politician more than Jesus this week? I mean, because I'm going to tell you something. You would think Messiah is returning the way some of these people are with it. And I'm going to tell you from a scale from 1 to 10 how much faith I got in politicians. All right, here it is. Zero. It's off the scale, right? Listen, I'm just telling you folks, listen. If your faith and your hope is caught up in this world, remember, this thing's transitioning to the worse. It's not going to get much better. Okay? I am looking for the head. I am looking for deliverance from our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows everything there is about government. He knows how to operate those things in heavenly places. He knows how to operate those things that will be on the earth. And when He comes back, they're not going to vote Him in. There won't be an electoral college in place. There won't be a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent to put Him in there. He is going to rule and reign with all authority. It'll be a monarchy ran by King Jesus. And He won't need any help. He won't need any money. He won't need a campaign group. And He won't need a limousine or Air Force One. He's going to be taking the skies at His own power. Okay? That's who He is. We got a more lively hope, a better hope. And I'm so glad I've got that hope. And I'm so glad, Lord willing, that my children will be able to hear that, because they've grown up in this world that will hate God. When you tell somebody that you are not good enough to save yourself, I'm going to tell you something. The fire just turned on in a lot of people. If that's not true, then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take a camera with me to work. You are not good enough to save yourself. There's nothing in your power that makes you acceptable unto God in your own works. You must believe on Him that justifies the ungodly. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again so you could be declared righteous. Jesus did that for you. He's the only one. He's too holy to accept your stuff. You're not good enough. You're polluted. You're wicked. You're a sinner. You need Christ's forgiveness. You need His justification. You need His righteousness imputed to you. Thank God. I'm going to tell you what the difference in Abel's blood, and I'll close. The difference in Abel's blood and Christ's blood, where Abel's was crying vengeance, Christ's blood was crying forgiveness at the cross when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what is the blood of Christ calling for today? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He is not imputing trespasses on the world today. His blood is crying forgiveness, redemption. It's crying reconciliation. It's crying, I'll save you, and I love you. Boy, that's why the Hebrew writer had it right. It's better blood. It's better blood than the blood of Abel. It's better blood. That's why Israel will have a better covenant with a better hope and a better land with much better promises. And today, folks, we ought to be on cloud nine if there is one. I want to find it, because I am so glad, thank God, that Jesus has taken my place at Calvary. Listen, not only to take my place, but if I was up there, I could not do what He did for myself. Do you understand that? You couldn't have done it if you was placed there. He was the God-man. Him, 2 Corinthians 5, Him that knew no sin might be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God. That's wonderful. It's the best. That's why it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the best news in town. Okay? Praise God. And but religion missed out, didn't it? And Cain missed out. And he went in, just like the Pharisees. They went in thinking they were good, thinking they were righteous. But I bet they look short. In their Saturday best, because you know it was a Sabbath then. In their Saturday best. Okay? We'll be meeting tomorrow when the Adventists meet. I mean, come on now. It'll be Saturday tomorrow, right? Or is today? What's today? Friday? Okay. I thought I left a time zone from Georgia to Tennessee. No. And JB sure was glad we come here and he saw Cracker Barrel, you know. Man, they got that too. We ain't left Dixie yet, okay? I do believe the last one's in Kentucky, though. And you cross out that way, it's just gone. But where am I going? This morning, I want to tell you, listen, that way, what did Jude say about the way of Cain that have gone in the way of Cain? Oh, my goodness, woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain. People are still going that way today, folks. They're still going that way. All through time, always gone that way. And I'm so glad that God has provided the sacrifice. Listen, it was a blood sacrifice. Paul said, we have now received the atonement. He made atonement. He made propitiation for our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. His blood was shed as a payment to God for your sin and for my sin. And if you believe that, if you believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and you trust Him, Ephesians 1:13, that's what it means. When we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that's what it means. You're placing your trust by believing on Him. Listen, that He did everything. You're saved by the faith of Christ. He did everything at Calvary. Listen, that provided your salvation by believing on that and believing on Him alone to be saved. You have eternal life. And that's the most wonderful thing in the world. That's where the Canaanites missed it. I call them the Canaanites. That's where Cain's followers, that's where they missed it. Don't go that way. Religion will take you that way. You get saved, fall from grace. Now you fall from grace. You start teaching and add works to salvation. You start teaching that you can perform and expect God to honor what you're doing because you have a lawful intention and a religious intention. Let the grace of God rule your heart. That's my challenge to you, okay? Don't go that way of Cain. Don't go in that way. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the time that we had here this morning in Your Word. And I've enjoyed being around the church. And I love them. And I thank You for the teachers here and the Bible preachers that are helping us and encouraging us and teaching us in Your Word. And I thank You for Brother Steve and what he means in this area in the South. And he helps us and has helped us before. And I pray, God, that You would use this meeting and what is being preached in the hearts of those that hear it. And I just pray that there might be some that would believe. That's my desire to see that, Lord, that some would be saved through this meeting. And I know they'll have to junk religion and they'll have to just believe You. They'll just have to believe You as Abel did. And Lord, we love You and we give You thanks for all that You provided at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank You again. Thank You, Brother Steve, for having us. All right.